Hello, everyone, and welcome back to an amazing episode of Impact Ed, where we're talking about a year of reflection with our esteemed guest, our 2024 Teachers of the Year. To my right, immediate right, I have Janice Simpson, Secondary Teacher of the Year from Kilo Middle School. How are you doing?
I'm doing good today. Glad to be here.
Yes, ma'am. And to her right, we have Ms. Ronice Choice of Cummings Elementary, our Elementary Teacher of the Year. How are you this morning?
Excellent.
So I'm doing well. Oh, awesome. I'm so happy to have you guys here. I want to start this off by talking about our Will You Be My Teacher campaign that we're having right now at ALEAF ISD, The Smart Choice. We are offering new incentives for our new teachers that are within special education, bilingual, and also our TIA designated teachers from $4,000 to $8,000. And the starting teacher salary is $64,100. So definitely come to ALEAF ISD. This is The Smart Choice. And as we're talking about that Will You Be My Teacher campaign, how does that make you guys feel? Like, does it make you feel like you're wanted, that, you know, it's a good recruitment strategy for teachers?
I definitely do, because if a child looks at you and say, will you be my teacher? It shows you that they see something in you. They see some kind of spark. And if you've ever seen me as a teacher, I'm the one that walks around with little cat ears with words or letters or numbers or something fun on it. And I typically have a smile on my face. So that tells you that they feel safe. They feel nurtured. They feel comfortable enough to ask you, will you be my teacher? I see that you are passionate about teaching and you want the students to excel. So can you please be my teacher so I can thrive as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Same. To be asked is an honor. You know, like any child that appreciates you, you know, loves what you do, sees you, it's always an honor, because that means that you're impacting them in some type of way. And just for them to ask you to be their teacher, I mean, I think that's amazing. And it's a blessing because you're able to pour into that child's life. So, yeah.
I love hearing you guys talk about that, because I can definitely see a whole lot of passion in what you do as a teacher. So can you tell me about, what's that pivotal moment where you were like, you know what, I wanna be a teacher? What was that moment for you?
Go first, sorry. Go ahead. Well, the moment I knew I wanted to be a teacher started when I was like younger, because I would, of course, I was in school, I had great, amazing teachers. I had teachers from elementary school that I loved, and just like, that moment when I say, you know, I really want to be a teacher, was just because I saw, like, it looked fun. Like, I was like, I want to do that, and I want to do this. And in your head, you have all these things like, oh, yeah, when I become a teacher, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do, you know, all these things. And just, but yeah, I would say at a very young age, I made that decision and said, I want to teach. I want to be a teacher. And it just stuck. It just stuck as long as I went through school. Mm-hmm. It was something that, you know, because I saw, like, the work they put in, but most importantly, my sixth grade teacher was the one who really inspired me the most to be an educator. So, yeah.
I love it. What about you, Ms. Choice?
Mine started when I was younger as well. So I'm an only child and I had no one to play with at home. So of course I turned to my baby dolls and my stuffed animals.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would teach them whatever I learned at school. And I mean, I was kindergarten, first grade level, and I would have spelling words for them. I would say, okay, you know, it's whole group time. Let's come to the carpet. And I would physically move my stuffed animals and baby dolls to the carpet and have class with them. And I could just hear my family, because, you know, kids played in a separate room. So I heard the adults and they would say, oh, she's going to be an educator when she grows up. And then, of course, elementary school, I was always the teacher helper. You know, can I help you with this? Can I help with that? Right. And they would say at the end of the year when they would give the awards away, you know, future educator or future this. And I would be the one who would get those awards. And then in high school, the high school that I attended, we had to do a community service project or some kind of give back to the community assignment. And I always volunteered at Boys and Girls Club and Girls Inc., tutoring students who were younger than me. And I felt like that was the calling, you know. I've started in education since I was younger, and I've trickled up the scale by, you know, continuing to give back to the community. So let's go ahead and just get a bachelor's in education.
That's what it is. Yeah. My story is different. I would love to say, oh, I've wanted to be a teacher since I was younger. That was not the case. I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. And then I started at Martin Elementary. And the blessing was being able to go into that classroom with those little ones. And as soon as I looked at them and I connected with them, we did our first little circle time, that was it for me. I was there, I was committed, because you see their little faces and how they light up. And when they call me, you know, they give you the apple, you say, you're my favorite teacher, and the school year just started. It is just a rewarding feeling, because it's like, you know, it's just something you don't feel like you're deserving of, you know, because they're just, you get a chance to see them, you know, change and grow. Yeah. So with that being said, what is some advice that you would have for a first year teacher?
Excellent question. So some advice I would have for a first year teacher is that the impact that you're going to make is going to be terrific. And I promise you, you may be nervous, you may be hesitant, you may feel like you might not know it all, but honestly, none of us know it all.
Right.
None of us. Just try your best, you know, give it your all. Try to build those relationships with those students and with your coworkers, because that will take you a very long way. Show your students that you care. You know, I know we focus on the academics a lot, but you have to make sure that those students know that you care about them, because you want them to care about you and do well with you. So that's a real big piece of advice, and you can do it. We have a nice cohort here in A-Leaf. We all work together, attend those professional developments, try and find ways that you can become better and do things in bit sizes. You know, don't try and do everything at one time, because like I said, none of us are perfect. We're all, you know, working in areas that we can improve in. So just try your best, give it your all, your students will do well.
And I honestly agree with Ms. Choice. I would definitely tell teachers to, as you continue to go through the process of being an educator, learn. You know, there's so many avenues that you can learn from. There's so many professional developments. There's also teachers. Talk to the teachers. Get to know the teachers in your school. Because there are teachers that have been there for 20 years, 30 years in education. They can tell you the ins and outs of what to do, what not to do. You're not going to be perfect. You know, some things will work, some things won't work. But I feel like if you're in the school and the day is not over, there's always room to tweak and change. And, you know, whatever didn't work for this class, let's try something different for this class. And you can't teach every child the same way. You definitely have to learn the students' learning styles. You have to learn, you know, those, you know, students who are struggling with English language learning, and you have to understand where they're coming from and put yourself in their shoes and look at it and say, if I were a student that didn't understand anything I was saying up here today, how would I feel? And, you know, so I would say pour into your students as much as you can. Some days you're gonna feel a little pressure because there's so many things going on, but I would say just take every day one day at a time and invest in your students. Get to know them. Get to know the students that come in your class every day. That quiet kid who never says a word, talk to them, because they want someone to talk to. They may just need you to be their friend, even though, you know, sometimes we say, oh, I'm not, you know, but sometimes they want to sit with you because they don't have anybody to sit with sometimes, you know. I think the most important thing, though, that I would say, the most important thing that teachers should know is the time you spend with the kids, it means a lot to them. You don't think it does. You think they don't like you, but they really do enjoy the time that you put into them, and they know when you're real about what you're doing. So honestly, I would just say take it one day at a time. It's a learning process. The first year may be your best year, or it could be maybe it wasn't the best year, but don't take that one year and say, oh, I'm done with education. Like, give it another chance, because every year is different. So, yeah.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. So as we talk about, one of the great things in A-Leaf is having a diverse culture, ethnicities, languages, so on and so forth. How has that furthered your pedagogy, or, you know, how you handle your classroom and how you interact with your students? How has that made you a better, how has that made you a better educator?
I would say it has definitely allowed me the opportunity to get to know my students and learn more about them and their families. And I think the more you know about your students, the more you can connect the information or the content that we're teaching into their own personal lives and help it make sense and resonate with them, whatever information we're learning. And I mean, we have things like the multicultural fair. We have different social studies teaks that we can learn about the students and their mm-hmm. families from. In the beginning of the year, we do My School and Me or My Family mm-hmm. and Me, just to help them build that sense of we are a community in the classroom and we are a community in A-Leaf and in our neighborhoods. Some of them live in the same apartment complexes, so they can, you know, have those discussions outside mm-hmm. of school. But for me as an educator, it helps me understand their upbringings, mm-hmm. help me understand their morals and their beliefs, help me understand why they do things a certain way. And it's important because, like she mentioned before, Ms. Simpson, that all students are different. And if we're teaching the students all the same way, not mm-hmm. keeping in mind their different backgrounds, then are we really serving them any justice? So keeping that in mind going forward, it's helped me because I can tailor lessons and activities to make it more meaningful for those students. So it has a meaningful purpose for them when they're actually engaging in the activities.
Awesome, yeah.
Yes, I believe that, you know, every opportunity I get, I'm asking my students questions like, so what do you all do? What do you all do for the holidays? Or what do you all do in your culture when you, you know, celebrate, you know, birthdays and things of that nature? And some of them, I'll bring it to present. A couple of my students were fasting for Ramadan. And so I'm familiar with it, but it was interesting. This year I had a couple of students in my class and, you know, just like to talk to them about like, what is that, you know, what does it mean? Like, well, how do you feel about it? Or just asking them a little different questions about their background, their culture, their religion and things like that was interesting to know, because I never really had a chance to invest in like getting to know mm-hmm. more about that. So just learning about that, I feel like it just shows that, you know, you care. It showed that, you know, you want to know some, because sometimes you're just like, oh, okay, that's fine, you know, do what you want to do. But if you never really ask students, you don't understand what they're going through, because you right. never take the time to ask them. So right. I think that was just a great opportunity, and I feel like teachers should do that. You know, no matter what your background is, I think that we have the opportunity to ask our students to get to know them. I like to joke with some of my students too, and, you know, try to speak the language a little bit, you know, here and there with them. But then I ask them, okay, how do you say this? And then they teach me. And so right. just having those times to connect with them, food and like fashion and traditions, things of that nature, that's been a learning experience for me. But it also gives me opportunity to find things that I can bring into the classroom that would excite them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I've had the opportunity to do that as well. I remember one year, my students were Hispanic, actually. I had all Hispanic students in that class, and they were like, you know, Ms. Simpson, can we do something for, I think it was Cinco de Mayo or something like that. And I was like, yeah, what do y'all want to do, you know? And so they were like, can we bring like different dishes and things like that? Mm-hmm. And we actually did it, and it was actually really fun. We did it like family style, and it was a really cool experience. For them and for me, because I got a chance to learn something different about them. And so mm-hmm. I enjoy that, that especially being in A-Leaf with just the diverse, like we have so many cultures and backgrounds, like that's something I love, because I'm getting to know so much about their cultures, and this is really exciting. So yeah,
I love
and
that.
The thing mm-hmm. I wanted to share, piggybacking off of you, because A-Leaf is so diverse, mm-hmm. it allows the students to celebrate each mm-hmm. other's differences, mm-hmm. and it really sets them up for life outside of elementary school, middle school, high school, because when they go into the real world, they'll say, oh yeah, I remember when I was in so-and-so's class, you know, yep. we learned about this. Mm-hmm. So we're setting them up for life, so when they go out to be adults, you know, they're familiar with different things, mm-hmm. they're familiar with different celebrations and traditions, mm-hmm. instead of, oh, you know, what are they doing over there? They can speak on it and say, oh, I remember learning this when I was in mm-hmm. elementary school. Right. So we're setting them up for success.
And I also think it's good that we also show them a little bit about us too as teachers, mm-hmm. because to let them see we're human. Mm-hmm. So it's like bringing in some different things about our own cultures too, and teaching them things, because if we never teach them, they'll never know. You know, right. it's a lot of right. things my students have learned this year. Like, I never knew that. I was like, yeah, you know. But it's interesting to them because they're getting a chance to see something else besides mm-hmm. just what they're used to, you know. So
right. Because mm-hmm. they only view us as teachers.
Yeah.
And exactly. so they're like, what? You do that too? You yes. have birthday parties too? Like, baby, I'm a human. Yes, yes, we do. We have life outside of teaching in a classroom. So
yeah.
It's nice that we can share our own backgrounds with them.
That's what we tell them, when we take this cape off, uh-huh. we are human.
Yes.
And it's okay. So I'm glad you guys mentioned that because I think about what's the responsibility of a teacher? Like, what are like some key responsibilities? You're like, this is why we teach. This is the key component that makes a teacher a teacher. What are some of those, what is the component or what are some of the components that are within a teacher's responsibility?
I think it's our responsibility really to make our students enjoy like what they're learning. Like, it's our responsibility to bring some type of joy, some type mm-hmm. of connection. Like you know, we are with these kids from 8 a.m., sometimes 7:30, mm-hmm. 7 o'clock, to 4, 5, 6, if we're coaches in sports, you know, whatever. But it's our responsibility also, in a sense, to protect them, you know, like, you yeah. know, they shouldn't feel afraid of you as a teacher, or they shouldn't feel discouraged to come into your class or feel like you're going to put them down if they don't get it or they don't know it. I'm like, we're your teacher, so mm-hmm. I shouldn't make you feel, you know, unsafe that yeah. or to ask me a question. Like, it's our responsibility to really protect them, protect their knowledge of what they're learning, and just making sure that we, you know, make them want to be in our classrooms. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you should want to come to school, like, you know. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So when I think about a teacher's role, I think about a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout, and they have a lot of badges, and mm-hmm. that's what we have as educators. And I mean, the list, yeah. it's a plethora of things that yeah. we do as an educator.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are protectors, you know, the students, they depend on us to keep mm-hmm. them safe. Their parents, they trust us mm-hmm. to keep their child safe from, you know, 7:30 in the morning to 3:15 when they go home. We're coaches. Not just a regular coach, but we're a life coach. We empower them to follow mm-hmm. their dreams. You know, we empower them to try their best. Don't give up. You know, we're a motivational coach. You know, you yeah. can do it. This might be a struggle right now, but that light bulb will go off one day. And when it does, we are going to celebrate. Yes. You know, yes. it may be difficult for you now, and you might not get it now, but the power of yet, we're going to get there. I'm going to continue to pour into you. I'm going to continue to help you inside of school, outside of school, right. tutorials, summer school. You know, we're going to continue investing time into you because we want you to excel.
Right.
Healers, you know, sometimes students, they may not always get along, and we're the ones who say, you know, how can we rectify things and make mm-hmm. it that everyone can come to good terms here?
Right.
And that's just part of our role as an educator, because in the classroom, we are a family, we're a community, and mm-hmm. we have to get along so we can all, you know, excel together, mm-hmm. because the goal is for us all to go to the next grade together,
right.
to, you know, graduate or do whatever we want to do after we leave this classroom. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So yeah. I think there's no one job as a teacher. You don't just right. walk through the door, set up the classroom, sharpen the pencils, get out the chairs, and okay, we're going to teach. Mm-hmm. No, that is not our job. We are the mothers. We are the fathers. We are the nurses. You know, we're all of those mm-hmm. roles, because we know that we're here to focus on the whole child and not just part
Absolutely.
Of the child.
That's right.
Absolutely. And so you're providing students with a safe place to fail,
mm-hmm.
you know, in an environment where they're struggling, they're figuring it out too,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just let them know it's okay. And you're also supporting them in that productive struggle mm-hmm. of, you know what, you may have came, you know, you may come from this.
Yeah.
This may be what you deal with, but this is not who you have to be forever.
Right.
You know, so there are some of those students that are their own pioneers and kind of moving their own way. And so teachers give them the green light to say, yeah, you come this way. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be different. It's okay to stand out. You know, you'll still be supported and loved here as well.
That's
you
right.
know? And so as we bring it to a close, I want to ask you guys, what's the next steps? What's next for our teachers of the year? What are you guys looking forward to?
It's been an awesome journey. I mean, A-Leaf has spoiled us. Yeah. I say it all the time. They have spoiled us. And you want to know something so funny? The other day, I got a text message from a former colleague, and she said, "You're famous." And I said, "I am?" And she said, "Yeah, I got a flyer in the mail saying we want you to come back to A-Leaf and teach. And there's a picture of you on there." And I said, I mean, the amount of messages I receive, the amount of people in the grocery store who will come up to me, or I'm out in public somewhere and they go, "You're the teacher of the year." Or the students will say, "I saw you on YouTube. You did a video." And it's just so awesome. And I just love teaching so, so much. I'm passionate about it. My students, they see it day in and day out. They're eager to say, "What are we doing today? What kind of game are we doing today?" And I make everything a challenge because, you know, everyone's competitive. Well, not everyone. A lot of the kids are competitive. And they know when they're working towards something, then it's a lot more fun than just sitting here doing a textbook or, you know, an assignment. So right now for me, it's teaching, you know, another group of students, another year, just impacting the next grade level, trying to get them ready for the future. And that's my next step for now, short-term goal for now. So we'll see what else is in store for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've enjoyed this journey this year. It's been so exciting. It's new. The experience of it all has been just amazing. It also helped me to level up a little bit, I guess you could say. Just okay, take it up a notch now. You know, this is a important role that you have. This is a big responsibility. Definitely didn't take it lightly. Like, it was not just okay, great. No, this was a true honor just to serve as the district teacher of the year. And it's funny because I always tell my students, I say, you never know who's watching you, because, you know, like, you know, hey, you know, you got to be on your P's and your Q's, you know, wherever you go, which I try to do that all the time. But it's like now, it's like I really got to be careful. Like, whoa. But it's been great. I would say what's next for me, honestly, is just really taking some time to reflect on everything, and then seeing what else can I do to learn from this experience. What else can I do now, since I've had the opportunity to be the district teacher of the year and teacher of the year? How else can I pour into other people also who are reaching for this goal? Maybe they're reaching for this goal, or maybe they want to come into education, and just tell them from my experience what I experienced, and pouring into their lives as much as I can. And you know, I'm a mentor teacher also, so that being a blessing as well. And so just being able to show future teachers, you know, what the possibilities are. So I really want to just continue to just pour into people. So
that is amazing. Thank you, ladies, so much for your time today. We are going to be having the Teacher of the Year celebration next Thursday, April 17th at Taylor High School at 7 p.m. crowning two new District Teachers of the Year. If you want any more information, go to www.aleafisd.net/toy. And thank you, ladies, as always. Until next time, see you later. Bye.
Thank you.
This has been an AMP production.